going to find out more about Caterpillars Count. It's got an exclamation point, but it's a citizen science project for measuring the seasonal variation or phenology and abundance of arthropods like caterpillars and beetles and spiders found on the foliage of trees and shrubs. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Dr. Hurlburt. Yep. Nice to hear from you. I got an email from one of your associates saying that I should contact you, and I immediately sent back an email and blah, blah. Anyway, we made contact, but in the meantime, I explored your site quite avidly, and as I mentioned to you in an email, I took the test. I took the ID test, and I must say, it's devilishly hard. I kept wanting to enlarge the picture so I could get a better look to see if it had two wings or four.
Right.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what the whole program is, Caterpillars Count.
Well, so, as background, so I'm a professor at the University of North Carolina. I'm an avian ecologist, so I'm interested in birds and how climate change may be impacting birds. And from the perspective of phenology and migratory birds, say in Minnesota, I don't know what time of year, let's say May, your trees start leafing out.
You got it.
following that big leaf out, you get this big pulse of insect herbivores that are taking advantage of that new leaf resource, right? So there's suddenly this big pulse of insects. And that's really why birds are migrating to the northern hemisphere in that time of year, is to take advantage of all that arthropod insect food that helps them more successfully raise their young.
So it's not and just the beautiful view. It's there's an ulterior motive.
That's right. Not just the beautiful view, although I'm sure the view is quite beautiful in many parts up there. But, with climate change, so one question we know, actually, in many cases, that as things get warmer, trees start leafing out a little bit earlier, some wildflowers start coming out earlier. And if that insect pulse, therefore, comes out a bit earlier than it used to, and you're a bird that's wintering down in Central America, you may not realize what's happening. And if you migrate at your quote-unquote usual time, you might find that that big peak in resources is already kind of passed by the time you're trying to feed hungry nestlings. And, there's a lot of citizen science amateur bird watchers that have contributed information such that we have a really good understanding of how birds are responding to climate change, and many species are shifting the timing of their migration. Some aren't. But what we don't have as good an understanding of is what's actually happening with the bird food. So it's kind of just an assumption that, if trees are leafing out earlier, we assume that the insects are coming out earlier as well. And so this project arose trying to gather data at a really large scale, tapping into, people, amateur naturalists, people interested in observing their surroundings, and getting them to kind of collect information on foliage arthropods, caterpillars, beetles, spiders, things that birds rely on, and collect information in a standardized way such that we can really track how well birds are responding to climate change relative to how the arthropods are responding.
So if it were of my interest, and it is, and I'm sure many of our listeners are interested as well, when would be the time to get involved?
Well, so folks can contribute data at any time of year that there are leaves on the trees. And so, if this is of interest to your listeners, then they should check out our website, caterpillarscount.unc.edu, and find information about how to start up a site. You could start up a site in your own backyard if you have some woody vegetation, or you could start up a site in a nearby natural area. The idea is to tag individual branches and then revisit those same branches, let's say week after week. And so it's, of course, too late this year to get a full sense of the phenology of those branches, but you could still, set up a site, get practice kind of seeing what's going on from midsummer through the rest of the summer, and then, start up again next spring once the trees leaf out again. The idea is we would love people to start basically long-term monitoring projects. There's been some big headlines in the last few years about major insect declines. And there have been some high-profile studies suggesting that insect biomass is decreasing radically. And some of those reports may not be generalizable, and they may not apply everywhere. We really just don't have the data. And so we're hoping that some interested people will be able to set up sites and start paying attention and submitting that data where, you know, we can analyze it, compare it to the data on birds.
Now, I know from reading and just from exploring that certain species of trees are going to attract certain caterpillars. They prefer them as food as opposed to other species. Is there a, you know, for instance, in my yard, should I pick the oak tree and the red maple and the aspen and the juneberry and, you know, on and on? Or are there some that are more valuable than others in terms of picking them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So really, we are trying to get a handle just on whatever the representative vegetation in your area is, because this is a continent-wide project. We have sites from South Georgia all the way up into Ontario. And actually, if, you know, there was a site that was started at the Lake Superior Zoo in Duluth, but it appears they haven't submitted any data yet. So if anyone's creates a site in Grand Rapids, I think it would be our northernmost site, which would be amazing.
All right.
But basically, it's just whatever that vegetation is around you, and we have more information about how to the logistics of setting up a site. You need to choose a minimum of 10 branches in your yard, but it should just be whatever's around, and in fact, it could encompass the diversity of, you know, the maples and the oaks and ashes or whatever. Mm-hmm. You happen to have there. All else equal, we're interested in natural vegetation and not, you know, ornamental or planted plantings or, you know, exotic species. But for some people, that's actually, an important and explicit research question they want to test. Are there really more insects and arthropods on native vegetation than non-native vegetation? Because there's been lots of indications that may be true. And, of course, that has implications about how, in our own yards, we can create better bird habitat by planting native vegetation. So that's been shown in many places, but some people want to test that for themselves.
Interesting. Great. Now, let's say I've picked out 10 branches that I'm going to inventory. What's my next step?
Right. So, as you have already done, you know, it's great to make sure, you know, what we have people do is we have them examine these branches and record what they find down to the level of order, more or less, which means distinguishing a beetle from a fly, from a caterpillar, from a true bug. And we have some training resources on our website to make sure people feel comfortable doing that. So you took this identification quiz we have. We also have kind of a virtual survey game where there are images of these different bugs, but actually on a background of a branch. So you not only have to identify them, but you have to spot them first and then identify them, then estimate their length in millimeters, because ultimately we're trying to convert what you all are seeing on branches into sort of a biomass of bird food at a given point in time. You know, once people feel comfortable identifying those different arthropod types, then, you know, they can go out and do these surveys. And we basically have two different options that people can choose. And we ask that they just choose one or the other, but it kind of is a personal preference. One is a visual survey where you would go up to your branch and you would just inspect an area of exactly 50 leaves. And that's kind of the way we standardize the amount of, you know, search area. And so you would examine and, you know, turn over and look at both sides of the leaves, including the stent, the petioles and twigs associated with those 50 leaves. And we have a free mobile app for submitting that data. And as soon as you click submit, it shows up on our website. You can play with some of our graphing and mapping tools and visualize your observations and compare them to what other people are seeing. The second survey method, that visual survey is about 5 minutes, I would say, per branch. And then our other method, which is a little bit fun and good for engaging younger kids, is called a beat sheet. And we have instructions for how to make this. But it's basically just a 2 by 2 foot white sheet that's on a frame. And so you can make this for just a couple of bucks. And you hold that beat sheet under a branch and then whack the branch with a stick 10 times. And then stuff on the branch falls down into your beat sheet. So it's a little bit less painstaking work in terms of finding all the camouflaged critters on your branch just visually, because they're very easy to see on that beat sheet. But you do need to take the time and invest a little bit in making that beat sheet to begin with.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty simple process, like as you say. I'm reminded of Bernd Heinrich at the University of Vermont taking his introductory biology class students out and having them examine branches for arthropods, and how, yeah, as brand new students to this science, they were woefully inadequate, that
right,
that it's quite difficult. So 50 leaves may seem like, you know, just nothing, but it's actually pretty intense in order to,
right,
to really see what's there. A lot of those bugs are camouflaged for a reason. They don't want the birds to
eat
them.
That's right. Millions of years of evolution to not be seen.
That's right. Stay out of sight. I'm encouraged, and I hope that somebody out there listening this morning will become one of those northernmost listener reporters for your group. And as you said, now is the time to sort of practice a little bit and get ready for next year. And then I think what we ought to do, you and I ought to schedule a conversation in April just before we get leaf out and start this up again and see if we can pique some interest. I know there are a lot of listeners out there who are really fascinated with phenology and every part of it, and certainly this is an important part and one that oftentimes I don't spend enough time talking about because I get distracted.
Right. Well, that would be fantastic. And, yeah, I mean, the most important message I want to get out is just that, yeah, you know, all of you at home are able to contribute, you know, meaningful scientific data. Like, there's no other way we're going to collect this kind of information across, you know, such large geographic extents without the help of just interested naturalists, citizen scientists, et cetera. So
is there...
I hope people will follow up.
Is there any research on what it does to your mental health? It sounds like it would be a good thing to do this, especially in the times we're living in.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure if there's been official research on that, but certainly, you know, just taking 1 or 2 hours a week to pay close attention to what's going on in the natural world around you, and I'm sure many of your listeners already do this in some fashion already, but it's a great way of just connecting better with these little things that rule the world all around us.
I'm thinking this would be a great project for school kids that at a certain age, perhaps you might need the supervision of your parents or your grandparents to help you do the ID. But boy, you get a kid outside and get him interested in a branch and say, okay, we're going to count to here and we're going to look at everything that's here.
Right.
They can get into that. And the idea that it's worthwhile science, you know, that you're actually doing something scientific is kind of exciting, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Dr. Hurlburt, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning. And I hope that we will have another conversation next April and we can enlist people who maybe are today going out to practice a little bit to find the arthropods in their neighborhood. Any value to a submission at this point? I suppose a single data point doesn't really add much to the data set, but if somebody
there is actually value. So at this point, you know, less so from the phenology perspective because we won't get a full sense of timing and, you know, what's happened over the past 6 weeks. But you know, another really important thing, we talked about the difference between native and non-native vegetation for supporting arthropods. But even just within native vegetation, there might be a difference between oaks and maples and what kinds of bugs are found on them. So if people, you know, want to get out for the rest of the summer, they can contribute information that helps us better understand those kinds of questions.
All right. And if they are interested, caterpillarscount, one word, .unc.edu will get you to their homepage, and you can go from there. So, Dr. Great. Hurlburt, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to maybe sharing some data with you in April, and who knows, we may find ourselves your northernmost reporting station.
Fantastic. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Are we going to twist your arm to be one of those people?
You know, it's not like I haven't got anything to do, but gosh, insects are always kind of cool.